Dear friends, welcome to another edition of your favorite weekend character building show, River Ethics. My name is Dr. Eze Ibekwe. I am a lecturer at the Department of English Studies, University of Port Harcourt, and I'm also a public speaking coach. I'm your host for today. Just before we begin, let's take an opening message from Her Excellency, Justice Mrs. Suzette Eberechi Nyesom-Wike, the initiator of River Ethics.
Greetings to our amiable people of River State and welcome to another episode of River Ethics on Radio, a character building weekend show. Please remember that there is a whole lot of difference between having something to say and having to say something. Today's episode is titled Benefits of Effective Communication. Human existence and progress hinges substantially on effective communication. Communication serves five major purposes, which is to inform, to express feelings, to imagine, to influence, and to meet social expectations. A renowned author once said this about communication, and I quote, "Words are singularly the most powerful force available to humanity. We can choose to use this force constructively with words of encouragement or destructively using words of despair. Words have energy and power, with the ability to help, to heal, to hinder, to hurt, to harm, to humiliate, and to humble." Unquote. When people communicate with each other, they exchange various forms of meanings such as ideas and information through a common system of symbols. Typical communications can include writing in a diary, talking with friends, speaking on the telephone, speaking in a meeting or listening at a conference. It has been estimated that people spend more time communicating than they spend on any other complex activity in life. Human communication takes place on many levels, from the simplest interpersonal and small group exchanges to the complex and formal types of communications. There are seven C's of communication which are considered very vital for understanding the basics of effective communication. These are 1. Completeness. The communication must be complete by conveying all facts required by the audience. 2. Conciseness. Concise communication provides short and essential messages in limited words to the audience. 3. Consideration. Effective communication must take the audience into consideration, that is, the audience's viewpoints, backgrounds, mindsets, education levels, etc. 4. Clarity. Clarity implies emphasizing on a specific message or a goal at a time rather than trying to achieve too much at once. 5. Concreteness. Concrete communication implies being particular and clear rather than fuzzy and general. 6. Courtesy. The sender of the message should be sincerely polite, judicious, reflective, and enthusiastic. And 7. Correctness. Correctness in communication implies that there are no grammatical errors or factual inaccuracies in the communication. As we listen to the guest speaker, Dr. Eze Ibekwe, a public speaking coach and lecturer, Department of English Studies, University of Port Harcourt, let us master the 7 C's of communication in order to continue to add greater value at home and in our communities. Please enjoy the episode. A kind and loving Rivers people, please remember to always let your manners speak for you. God bless and keep you and your families, and God bless River State.
Don't run the other man down, don't wish him bad. No, there are better things to do, better pastimes around. Careless talk is not the right way. Love River State or leave her alone. Don't pull her down. No. Think what you can do for her. Engage yourself in meaningful activities. No room for gossips. Do something meaningful.
Welcome back. If you are just tuning in, this is Rivetics on Radio, and I am Dr. Eze Ibekwe, your host for today. I'll be speaking on effective communication. Effective communication. Let me define effective communication, then I'll tell you one or two things touching on effective communication as it relates to the home front, to the office space, and all other places. Effective communication refers to the art and the act of using an appropriate language to communicate an intended message to a target audience in a given context. I carefully said it is an art, A-R-T, and an act, A-C-T. It is an art because it is a skill. If it is a skill, it can be learned. The point is that so many people talk, but just a few communicate. And even amongst the few that communicate, not all of them communicate effectively. That is the crux of the matter. I also said effective communication is an act, A-C-T, because it is a process. There is a process, or what we call channels of communication, where you have the encoder. If I break it down, encoder is just the speaker. It could be the speaker or the writer, it depends on the context. Once he is able to encode any message via the medium of speaking or writing, and that's why we say the second of the channels is the code. The code is the language. It could be English, it could be Pidgin, it could be any indigenous language. And of course, the third on the process of communication is the decoder. The decoder is the listener or the reader. He either functions as the listener if it's in a spoken medium, or the reader if it is written. And of course, for any message to pass for effective communication, there needs to be a feedback. So the point is this: if someone talks and the other person listens, hears first, understands and gives a feedback, communication has taken place. Somebody could enter here and be talking to us in Kiswahili. We will hear him because we listened, but because we did not understand one bit of what he said, that's an exercise in futility. No communication has taken place. And then, of course, I have mentioned the issue of context. To summarize what I've just done so far: encoder, decode, the message, decoder, feedback, context. These are the processes, the channels through which one can communicate effectively. Now, I'll give you just an instance of ineffective communication. It is against this backdrop that we will place effective communication so that everybody will understand exactly what we are talking about. Listen to the following examples. Please remember to put any leftovers and waterproof wrappings after eating in the refuse bin. I'll say it again. I saw this in one government parastatal in an office. Please remember to put any leftovers and waterproof wrappings after eating in the refuse bin. Now, what is immediately wrong with this is that it's grammatically sound, yes, but it doesn't pass the intended message. Therefore, communication fails here. The communication is ineffective. It's trying to say, if you finish eating, put the leftovers and the waterproof wrappings in the refuse bin. But look at what he succeeded in saying. Please remember to put any leftovers and waterproof wrappings after eating it. So after eating in the refuse bin, you are eating in the refuse bin. Some people may say, does it matter? It does matter. Communication is key, can break down and cause a lot of conflict in the workplace, in the home front, during business negotiations, and all whatnot. There's another example. The reverend gentleman told his congregation not to steal on Sunday. Someone actually told me this. I said, really? He said, yes. Really? Yes. He told them not to steal on Sunday. So the import of this is that they can steal from Monday to Saturday, but don't steal on Sunday. But that's not exactly what the person had in mind. And that's not effective communication. We can remedy this by saying, on Sunday, the reverend gentleman told his congregation not to steal. This is better than, the reverend gentleman told his congregation not to steal on Sunday. So what's the point here? Effective communication is the art and act of using appropriate language in a given context to convey an intended message to a target audience. That is the crux of the matter. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about the objectives of effective communication, because I've just suggested strongly to you that communication doesn't happen for the fun of it. Communication is pushed towards the end that the communicator may inform, may educate, may persuade, may inspire. So while you are engaging in effective communication, the aim is to motivate or even sometimes to entertain. It could be to sensitize, to conscientize, and rouse a target audience to take positive action. Now, I need you, ladies and gentlemen, to underscore that phrase, positive action, because there is a thin line that divides effective communication and hate speech. If someone uses communication effectively to a negative end, to incite hatred or whatever, that is hate speech. That's not being an effective communicator. So the major issue here is if you are aiming at informing or educating or persuading a target audience, or even to sensitize them, or even to conscientize them, and then rouse them up to take a positive action, that is exactly what we mean by effective communication. Let's now talk about the benefits of communication and conflict resolution. But before we talk about that, there is something I would wish that we will take a critical look at. I am of the opinion that jokes and stories are great teaching tools. I'm going to tell you a story, a very short story, very brief story. And then on that, I'm going to hang the next items that I will be talking about, namely benefits of communication, effective communication in conflict resolution in the workplace, in the home front, in government circles, and so on and so forth. Can I tell you the story now? It's a story of a man who came back from work and saw that his house was on fire. He brought out his cell phone and called a fire service station and then said, "Please, fire extinguishers, report instantaneously because I have fallen a victim of catastrophe." The point is that the fire I'm talking about is snowballing into a horrendous conflagration that will consume my magnificent edifice. Now the point is this, it may be humorous. The man was talking. The man at the other end was busy answering, "Sorry, can you explain exactly what you mean?" The man continued to talk while his house continued to burn down. Now, if he simply had said, "Please come to XYZ Street because my house is on fire, it may extend to our vicinity," that's effective communication, and he would have achieved the intended aim of getting the flames doused. But he was speaking English, using highfalutin words, and the essence was that his house burned to ashes. Let's go on a short break. We'll be right back.
Why are you so selfish? Why don't you care? I don't know why we hate our fellow man. Why must you try to block his way all the time? You see, the fault is not in him, it's in you. Don't just look helpless. Come on, brace up. Do the bit you can and leave the other men alone.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, this is Rivetics on Radio, and I am Dr. Eze Ibekwe, your host for today. I have been speaking on the benefits of effective communication. Okay, let's continue with the effects in the workplace, the effects in the home front, the effects generally in the society. I'm going to bring all of them together, because the effects as it happens in the home front and in the office is just about context that separates them. Otherwise, the effects are the same. Number one effect, I'm talking about number one benefit of effective communication, is that it helps to instill in the communicants, in the communicators, a spirit of camaraderie. You know, the spirit of togetherness, the spirit of oneness and unity. Once people communicate effectively, you know, talking, speaking, especially the effective kind of speaking, helps as an emotional and psychological release. Somebody may be burdened, somebody may be irritable, somebody may be angry with the other person. Except he communicates that information, that hurt will still be there. He or she may be boiling like kettle on fire. So once he says, sorry, there's something you did to me the other day, I do not like it. Look at exactly what you did. And he spells it out politely, simply, and following the principles of effective communication. We call it the principle of KISS SE. Keep it short, simple, straightforward, and clear. KISS SE. Keep it short, simple, straightforward, and clear. This will help to instill and foster the spirit of camaraderie, and this will go a long way to reduce unnecessary competition and petty rivalry, whether in the work front, whether in the office space, whether in the home front, or even in government circles. Number two, the second benefit of effective communication is that it helps employees, it helps people who are together in a house to work together harmoniously and build a good team. So whether it is in the home front, once communication is free-flowing and everybody is open, what needs to be done gets to be done when it ought to be done. And there is harmony, there is unity. And then number three, benefit of effective communication. It can lead to high productivity and clear assignment of roles and responsibilities. Now, if we situate this in an office setting or even in a government administrative setting, and then the boss is there and the subordinate is there, I says, look at what you are supposed to do today. You do this, you do this, you do this. Clear assignment of duties and responsibilities. And then the people who have been thus assigned will have responsibility. And that's when they will be responsible. Because I like to think that responsibility is got from the word responsibility. And this will in turn lead to a high productivity, whether it is in the home front. There's a particular thing that needs to be done, and clearly assigned roles are defined for various individuals. Everybody in the manner of speaking is playing in his own wing. All of them playing in their various wings with the mindset they want to score vital goals. That's what effective communication does. Then number four, effective communication helps to prevent errors. It helps to prevent failure and sometimes quarrels and lawsuits. Let's assume that two companies, this one says, okay, I need XYZ service, I need XYZ goods or commodity. Can you supply it? This one says, I can. Eventually, what was quoted for was not what was supplied. They need communication to resolve the issue. If the other one calls, what I said you should send is not what you sent, and the other one says, no, that's what I sent. No, but you have the email there. Forget the email. That's what I said. Conflict has arisen. Effective communication can come in handy. And by this, I mean once one begins to practice the magic words like I am sorry, the magic words like sorry, pardon me, I didn't think it through, can I do another thing? It goes a long way to help to make errors, failures, and sometimes quarrels that would have ensued. It clears them off the table. Another benefit of effective communication in the area of conflict resolution. Now, conflicts are here with us, so to speak. They are here with us because conflict, well, I belong to the Department of English. In literature, we say conflict is a normal, natural thing. It is the clash of opposing forces. It could be inner conflict or outer conflict. It could be business conflict, financial conflict. So conflicts are here. It's not about the conflict. It's about using language, using effective communication to douse the flames of a conflict. So the first major benefit is that it is useful in resolving conflict, especially if the speaker addresses the major issue at that particular time. That's one. Then if the speaker also tries to avoid attacking the other person and making unnecessary accusations. This one thing I see on our political space these days, it's usually this one about this one, this one. So, and most of the things they are saying, I once confronted, in quote, one of my students, why do you keep posting things that are not correct? He said, no, that's just to heat up the polity, just to heat up the space. I said, if you heat it up, wait till you go again, as we say in Port Harcourt parlance, pidgin. Now, the point I'm making is this, you need effective communication to build trust so that you could avoid attacking other people and making unnecessary accusations. Then another thing is that effective communication will help both sides in a dispute, both sides in a conflict, both sides in a negotiation on the negotiating table to move back to positions of normalcy and objectivity. And this is very critical. Positions of, because this one says I am right, the other one says I am right. There needs to be a compromise. The compromise can be handled by effective communication. Finally, during a conflict-ridden situation, effective communication can help to reduce anxiety, can help to reduce tension, can help to reduce everything that would have led to war and the quarreling and fighting. Effective communication does that. Yes, I did say that encapsulated in KISS-SC are the principles of effective communication. I see this a whole lot of time. People try to sound, you know, sophisticated. They try to sound affectatious in speech. You know, if you break it down, you say the person is forming. No, effective communication is not about trying to impress. It is trying to pass across the intended message effectively. So it's not about using highfalutin words. It's not about using words that are high sounding. The major issue is that, have you communicated the message intended? If you have not communicated the intended message, your communication has failed. It is ineffective, to state the least. So the KISS-SC principle, keep it short. Keep it short. I'm not just trying to say that you should run away from compound complex sentences, but it is best if you start with short sentences, short explanations that are tantamount to hitting the nail squarely on the head. If you have a hammer and there is a nail there, and you continue hitting the hammer on the table, not on the head of the nail, you are practicing something that will not be beneficial. There will be activity, but there will not be any productivity. So effective communication in this respect, keep it short. It aims for productivity. Keep it simple. Complex words, highfalutin words, for example, in the spelling of it, you may miss the spelling of embarrassment. You may miss the spelling of flabbergasted. Why not use a simple word, surprised? An everyday word, amazed. And then you'll be able to communicate effectively. The other part of it is that, keep it straightforward. Oh, I can't say this. I can't state it strongly enough. I'm sorry. Somebody said, why are you always hitting at some political jobbers? I say, no. It's about their use of language to, not to communicate, but to fool an unwary public. Just go straight to the point. Straightforward. Don't keep talking round and round in circles, so that at the end of the day, you've not said anything. It will just be a house of words, but there are no occupants of sense in that house of words. You just keep talking. You are not straightforward. You are not very, very clear. You are not very, very simple. Your words are not short enough. You will be practicing something that will waste your time. There are one or two other principles that we will talk about, but that will be as soon as we come back from this break.
If you've got a problem and somebody helps you to solve it, what you gonna say? You say thank you. We gotta help each other.
Welcome back. We're still talking about effective communication, and it is just the very last principle I want to talk about, and it is the principle of clarity. We say keep it clear. Clarity is essential if you want to communicate effectively. If you say visiting mother-in-laws can be dangerous, it is ambiguous, it's not clear. Is it when mother-in-laws visit you or when you visit mother-in-laws? If you say I can lift an elephant with only two fingers, it's ambiguous. Means it's open to two interpretations. I can lift an elephant with only two fingers. Who has only two fingers? Is it the lifter or the lifted? Is it the human being doing the lifting or the elephant? So you need to make it clear and say, I can use two fingers to lift a whole elephant, or I can lift an elephant that has two fingers, rather than I can lift an elephant with only two fingers. That's ambiguous. An ambiguous word is not clear. So if we strive for clarity, we will drop every trace of ambiguity in our speech. And if you do that, instead of miscommunicating, you'll be practicing effective communication. We've just talked about effective communication, the meaning, and we say it's the art and the act of using appropriate language in a given context to convey an intended message to a target audience. We also talked about the skill, the process of effective communication. We also talked about the aim or objective of effective communication. And finally, we talked about the benefits of effective communication from the home front to the office space and then to government circles. That is the end of the presentation. Thank you from Dr. Eze Ibekwe.
Dear friends, this is the much we can take on today's edition of Reef Ethics. I hope it made a difference in our collective effort to make our society a better place. If you missed parts of this episode or wish to download these or previous editions, please visit our website www.reefethics.com to listen to or download all episodes. You're free to share the production with your friends at your school or community. You can join the Reef Ethics family on Facebook or Twitter via at Reef Ethics, and you can call our phone numbers for questions related to these or other editions. The numbers are 0808-917-7707, 0902-917-7706, or send us an email to reefethics@gmail.com. The Reef Ethics radio program currently airs on 5 radio stations in Rivers State every Saturday as follows: Nigeria Info 92.3 FM from 8:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. Radio Rivers 99.1 FM 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock in the morning, with a repeat broadcast same time on Sunday. Rhythm 93.7 FM 2:30 to 3 p.m. in the afternoon, with a repeat broadcast same time on Sunday. Treasure FM 98.5, 6:30 to 7 p.m. in the evening, with a repeat broadcast on Sunday by 5:30 to 6 o'clock in the evening. On Wazobia 94.1 FM, on Saturday evening, the program starts at 5 o'clock to 5:30 p.m. Until next week with another host, remember to always let your manners speak for you. Wishing you a great week ahead.